do today. Screens may be a little bit different. You'll have remote mics, but they'll be full-function wearable computers. There's no question about it. Our next generation product is making that next leap. Now let's talk about the real market size. It started out with some small numbers of $600 million a year, US only, commercial only, by IDC. That was their initial argument and proposition based upon what our product looked like a year ago. They were followed very quickly by Curid Research. Cheryl Curid said, no, the market is really several hundreds of billions of dollars because it's really the notebook market that we're going to be attacking when we get the right architectures. And I'm here to tell you that the TC, or the transferable core architecture, that Cybernaut has now on the MATC is probably close to the right architecture, and I'll go into that later. Then Jupiter came out. Jupiter Communications, the research group, they said, no guys, when you really think about what a wearable PC is going to be in the year 2005, based upon technology trends, it's a $3 trillion a year marketplace. Now, up until then, people would have been laughed at if they made a prediction like this. But you are in the front, the throes of a $3 trillion market being made. But it's not like my product today. It's not like the MA4 or the 5 or the TC. It is more like the consumer product that we'll be showing. You'll be doing your banking. You'll be doing your stock trading. You'll be doing your cellular calls. You'll be listening to your MP3 files, your video, you'll be doing distance learning on it in GPS and security. It will be, in fact, that ubiquitous little product. And it's going to be made under license, we hope, from Cybernaut, by all the major manufacturers of today's communications and computing products. Now, everybody said Jupiter was a little crazy. You know, no market could be that big from zero in 5 years. Except Bear Stearns just came out with their report. They said no. Bear Stearns believes that this marketplace, our marketplace, is a $3.5 trillion a year market. So now it's not, you know, just those crazy guys at Cybernaut or MIT or Toronto that are saying it. You're starting to get mainstream analysts who could not follow the market before because we didn't fit into any one market niche that somebody followed, any analyst domain. We crossed all domains, and we still do, and that's where we're going. So the hardest task for us as a community in the future and going future is to try to pick out an opportunity and go close it. Because if you sit back and try to get all the opportunities blended in with one, you know, cohesive architecture, you'll never get anything done. The technology is changing too fast. Again, Bell Canada, real world, they save about an hour a day. They're getting ready to deploy first 300. Their stated published press report said they intended to replace all the IBM ThinkPads that was in their field force. And depending on which part of Bell you talk about, Bell Canada Enterprises, or Bell Canada Ventures, there's some 40 companies. The numbers range from 18,000 to 38,000. IBM has an evergreen program where they replace a third of a company's products every year and refresh them. Most other computer companies have the same. Once you make your inroads and you start this process going, it snowballs. I remember Xerox could not convince anybody that there was a demand for plain paper copy because coated chemicals were just fine. It wasn't until Sears Roebuck gave Xerox its first large order that xerography and plain paper copying became a market, and then it exploded. I believe that we have a better opportunity to explode than Xerox ever did. This is a guy named Seaweed, all 150 kilos of him. He is the inspector on the line for International Truck. By having wearable computing on him, even with grinders grinding truck cabs behind his head, they save 200 trucks per day from rework. So the number of savings that we're seeing and the ability to tune lines faster and respond and make safer working conditions has found that there's not been any resistance from unions to our technology. And it goes on and on and on. It's Northwest, it's Docomo, Siemens probably has 10 to 15 applications, Daimler has a lot of systems going, NTT, it just goes everywhere. General Motors. I'll let you read that for a moment. And then I'll give you one additional quote. This is from a Gartner report where they're talking about how the BlackBerry is not going to replace your PC. What they're saying is that through 2006, mobile appliance devices that do not offer 100% compatibility with Windows and that don't support their standard Office suite will leave the open possibility of erroneous decisions that cannot be explained. Thank you. Okay. Again, how many people have seen the IBM Park Bench commercial? Anybody here? Has it aired in Europe? Only a few? You really should see it. Because this is, again, this is going to go down as the event that made the wearable industry take off. In the US, it's ubiquitous. Everybody knows this commercial. And it really is a product which everybody says doesn't exist, can't exist, impossible. But I'm telling you, when you see the consumer product that we're coming out with, it's getting very close. Okay? IBM is committed to this program all the way up through their global services, up to Lou Gerstner and down, in their labs, in their industry groups. Okay? Peter Keane echoes my sentiment. Peter was a young PhD that worked for me at Xerox when I was trying to bring out early Ethernet and Altos and Star workstations. As it turned out, some 20 years later, I'm throwing a dinner party for a new neighbor if I came back from Japan, and I started talking to the neighbor's wife, and we're explaining our backgrounds. And she says, you know, it's really interesting because your husband, my husband and you have similar backgrounds, and his name is Peter also. I said, well, that's not that unusual. There are a lot of people called Peter. And she says, no, his name is Peter Keane also. So I turn over there, and this guy looks at me. This is the same Peter Keane that worked for me 20 years earlier, who is now my immediate next-door neighbor in Fairfax, Virginia. Peter is now a total advocate and dedicated to wearables. He also shares our sentiments. Wearables and wireless are the combination that's going to break us. And that's what brought it together. That's what brought IBM's attention to this. It's what brought Sony to us, who did our last generation product. And what's coming? The ultimate in convergence is coming. And it may take different slices, and different people may address different markets. But the capability, if you wanted to put them all into a single device, is there. And again, that's what we're going to show. In fact, we and a few other people, I believe, already do all of these things. We just don't do them in a small, user-friendly, attractive package. But all those capabilities are there right now. And with the next generation product, we'll come the short pocket. And that'll end that. I'm not betting for or against Bluetooth, but there's no reason to bet against it. It costs very little to make a device, you know, Bluetooth ready. 802.11 is fine. Bluetooth is fine. We need ways to get around the cables. So that has to happen. Somebody has to come up with it. But we need a personal area network, even if that person extends a little bit off the body. As a result of that, our new MA5 has Bluetooth all over it, just along with FireWire and every other type of comms you can imagine. Okay. The operating system. Bill Gates has made it clear, he stated it publicly 3 times, that every Microsoft operating system going forward will be speech capable and speech ready and tuned for speech. With that kind of statement in mind, we made sure that we put TI's latest digital signal processor on board with the MA5. And we're releasing a software developer's kit very shortly that will allow every application developer to drive that DSP if they want, in any way they want, for communication, video, noise cancellation, start-stop point analysis. And you get that DSP running in conjunction with your CPU, and you can properly manage your environment. But I'm not really sure that somebody who works with their hands and feet and tools for a living, my market, really needs to be looking at a desktop. That person really needs just the information they need in the style they're used to dealing with it to do the job and task at hand. So with that in mind, we're working with Microsoft on a number of different ways and graphical representations for the operating system. Some more market predictions, not by me. The next 5 years will be the largest growth years. That was stated before they came out with the $3 and $3.5 trillion market estimates. The marketing and the R&D of an IBM, a Sony, or a Compaq are going to be required. We've got the Sonys, we've got the IBMs. I spent a day with Capellas and Compaq. They're dedicated to wearables. Check their website. They said, wearables, hell yeah, we'll provide them. The upside, this is the latest quote from Gartner Group. I'll let you read that also. This is the final testimonial. This is that 60 and 70% market acceptance of a wearable device. 75%, I'm sorry. Okay. There's your convergence. And again, we do it now. All we have to do it is smaller, lighter, faster, cheaper to make it acceptable to the consumer. Okay. We believe a huge market is going to be out there for cyber carrier services, people that provide these transactions. So when we look at our licensing programs, we always ensure that we don't just worry about making money, royalties on hardware. You need to start looking at your patent approach and make sure you start getting royalties on all of the revenue that's associated with your inventions and proposals. Gene's comment I mentioned earlier with Joel, senior fellow at TI, wearable computing is inevitable. There's no question that it's coming. The only question is whose name is going to be on the box. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with the last one, but basically you end up with a Rosetta Stone. You have all the world's knowledge on you in 25 years. The internet was huge, and by having instant access to that net with structured communications in a humane manner, you're going to open up this huge plethora of opportunities, and life as we know it now, every single aspect is going to change. So you might as well get used to it right now. Probably half of what you learn in school is not going to be relevant in 5 years. Distance learning, John Chambers says, is going to make email look like a rounding error. We believe it's going to be entertainment at CyberNet. We believe that's the killer app 5 years from now. Every form of entertainment, gaming, movies, games like you've never dreamed of, we're talking to the game companies with. Interactive games that are real-time, situational, against real players. Right there on the street with you, or maybe in the next country. Okay. That concludes my presentation. I know everybody wants to get on to drinking, so I'll just break it right here. Thank you for coming, and we'll all be here if anybody wants to talk with us. Thank you.